Welcome to Through the Word. I'm Peyton Jones, stealing back out of the shadows like a Bible ninja to join you on your journey through the Word in 10 minutes or less. Today, we'll be starting Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. It's one of two letters that Paul wrote to a church he'd planted on his second missionary journey because they had problems. Now, I'm sure you've never had problems in your faith, but wouldn't it be cool if when you did, you received a letter from the Apostle Paul to help you navigate your way through them? Well, the good news is, this letter can be used to help you navigate through any problems you're facing that are similar to the people that Paul wrote to, the Thessalonians. Well, the Thessalonians were doing pretty good on the whole, but there were a couple things that were starting to go wrong. If you've ever ridden a motorcycle, you'll appreciate the motor hums and vibrates and purrs like a kitten, but it should never rattle. When you hear or feel rattling, that's a bad sign, because a rattle usually means there's a screw loose. Okay, you can go where you want with that. But the more the engine vibrates, the more that screw is going to rattle loose eventually. And a biker friend of mine once had the engine on his motorcycle actually swinging loose on the frame because he didn't address the rattling soon enough. And when the engine swung loose, he was in the middle of the desert. Of course. Well, Paul didn't want the Thessalonians to get stranded in their faith like my friend. So he wrote this letter to help them tighten the screws in some areas of their lives. That's why this letter was not an optional extra credit assignment, but necessary reading. Paul closes this letter in chapter 5, verse 27 by saying, "I charge you in the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers." Well, if this letter's that important, let's jump straight in. Verse 1 opens by telling us who the senders were, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. Now, these men were dear to the Thessalonians. After all, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy had taken a beating to bring the good news of Jesus to the Thessalonians, and it hadn't been an easy run. In fact, Paul had only spent 2 to 3 weeks in Thessalonica before having to pack his bags and move on to the next city. After 2 weeks of preaching in the synagogue there, Paul was driven out of the city by Jewish people who were threatened by Paul's message of salvation coming to the Gentiles. Acts 17, verse 2, actually tells us the story of how it went down in Thessalonica. Let's quote from that. "As was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on 3 Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the scriptures, but he left Timothy and Silas behind." Every time Paul opened up about the gospel in a city, his enemies sought to shut him down. In fact, they had been following him from town to town like religious stalkers, stirring up trouble for him wherever he went. But when Paul arrived in Thessalonica, he had just had his back ripped open in Philippi and was a little tattered, torn, and worse for wear. So Paul left Silvanus and Timothy, his faithful sidekicks, behind to continue to teach and disciple the Thessalonians. This is why, when you read this letter, you can hear the affectionate longing in Paul's writing to the Thessalonians. He misses them, and he felt he needed more time with them. If you've ever been separated from someone you love, you'll know that sinking pit in your gut, or that hollowed-out feeling in your heart that proves that absence does indeed make the heart grow fonder. In this case, Paul's absence from the Thessalonians after just getting to know them for a couple of weeks has made his heart grow very fond of the Thessalonians. As Paul moved on, leaving the spiritual growth of the Thessalonians in the capable hands of Timothy and Silvanus, Paul went on to Corinth as a tent maker, and it's there he wrote this letter as he waited to hear the news about how the Thessalonians were doing. Let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5 through 7, where Paul tells us how tied up in knots he was until he heard the good news from Timothy that they were actually walking strong with Jesus. "For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you, and that our labors might have been in vain. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and brought us the good news about your faith and love. He told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we long to see you." Paul was overjoyed to hear that they were doing good and they missed him back. And you probably guessed by now that the letter to the Thessalonians that you're now reading was the response to this good news. Have you ever made a connection with a group of people and you just love them? Maybe you only got to spend a short time with them, but when you leave, it's like part of your heart is still back with them. If you've ever been on a short-term mission trip and experienced Jesus' love flowing through you for people you didn't even know before you got on that airplane, it's a mind-blowingly powerful feeling. But when you boarded that plane to return home, you felt a bond with the people you just poured your blood, sweat, and tears out for. And there's an ache in your heart and a feeling that you'll never forget the amazing people you've met. You can fly halfway around the world and still wonder about them, how they're doing, how they're growing in Christ, and what God is teaching them. There's an old song called, "I Left My Heart in San Francisco," but Paul had left his heart in Thessalonica. It's evident from reading this letter to the Thessalonians that Paul loved them, missed them, and kept wondering how they were. Paul worried himself sick about the Thessalonians, and in this letter compares himself at one time to a mother caring for her children, and another time comparing himself to a father admonishing his child to be the best version of themselves they can. Paul may have only had a few brief weeks with them, but he recounts their history together in the second chapter like a lover recounting the story of how they first met at a dinner party. And as Paul retells the story in chapter 2, verse 13, you can feel those old feelings coming up. We also thank God continually because when you received the word, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. In chapter 2, verse 17, Paul describes being separated from the Thessalonians like orphans being separated from their parents. But that separation did not lead to desperation. In the letter, Paul gushes on the Thessalonians, celebrating every win that Timothy reported and expressing how encouraged he was by hearing the good news that they were doing well. In 1 Thessalonians 2:7, Paul says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, in our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith." Encouragement is a theme here. Paul uses that word 8 times in this letter, and the letter is actually encouraging. But if the Thessalonians were doing so well, why did Paul feel they needed encouragement? The people of Thessalonica had been discouraged by some of what the false teachers were saying. It was wacky stuff. We don't know who these people were or where they come from, but they were spouting off some pretty discouraging teaching about the return of Jesus. Think of it like this. The Thessalonians were running a relay race like champs, but the false teachers were handing them bowling balls and anvils that were starting to weigh them down with some funky teaching about the end times. If the internet has done one thing in our lifetime, it's flooded the web with bad information. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, Paul tells them, "But we don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as those who have no hope." The Thessalonians were being misinformed about Jesus' return, and it was leading them into a spiritual desert. The letter you're about to read served as a type of canteen of refreshment and helped them navigate their way out of the false teacher funk. Paul has to untie the threads of their false teaching in chapter 4, verse 14 through 18. "For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord that we who are alive and left until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep." Statements like these would have been a huge relief to the Thessalonians, which is why the overriding tone of the letter is an encouragement. Remember, encouragement is the common theme, and Paul repeats how encouraged he is, and then he wants to leave them encouraged too. Like a coach from the sidelines, the letter of Thessalonians is that encouraging word of a coach spurring a team on. Well, we've got time to go deeper into that over the next few chapters, but that's enough for the introduction. Now that you've had a sneak peek of what's ahead of us in 1 Thessalonians, I encourage you to read through the entire book today. It's only 5 chapters, and it'll only take you a few minutes, and at the end of this book, you'll be encouraged. Encouraged that you haven't missed anything, especially Jesus' return. When you read this letter, you'll have the encouragement and confidence that Paul wanted them to have based on the knowledge that when Jesus comes back, he'll be coming for you. After all, he came for you the first time, and if he came for you the first time, don't think that Jesus is going to leave you behind the second time.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.